You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
We would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people who are the traditional custodians of the land here. We will also pay our respects to elders past and present of Kaurna country. I draw your attention to the weekly notice sheet that you should have received coming in. Please take the time to read through these and so become familiar with upcoming events. We light this flame to ignite our hearts and minds. The spark of knowledge that enlightens, the shimmering hope that burns, the blazing love that engulfs our actions, the bonfire of our commitment. We light this flame for those who celebrate themselves, who fear, who hope, who persevere, who stand on the side of love for all. We light this flame for those who have been ridiculed, that they may find peace, for those that have fought to marry, that they may celebrate, for those that live in uncertainty in the world, that they may have hope. We light this flame to renew our commitment that no one shall ever again suffer for the right to love. We light this flame to celebrate our kaleidoscope of diversity, working, loving, and living on the side of love. For this, we light this flame. These words by Linda Lee Franson, who's a member of the Palomar Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Good morning to you all. Welcome to our service of worship. This is a service because it aims to serve you. And this is worship originating from worth-ship, because it serves you by raising to worth things that matter. My name is Aaron Pose, a member of this congregation, and I am leading this service today. I welcome you here on behalf of the generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings of Kaurna and Perimic land since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work towards a better world for all. We welcome you to join with us after the service for coffee, tea, and conversation, and perhaps cake. The address today is masking. These days, due to the impact of COVID, we're encouraged to wear masks. Just a few short years ago, it was unthinkable. Masks were something we saw in the hyper-busy and polluted cities like Shanghai and Tokyo. Masks aren't perfect, and much depends on the seal and the quality of the covering, but they really do lower the spread of airborne diseases, especially outgoing. For a while, wearing masks was mandatory here, and we may be going back there. Certainly, many more people are wearing them right now compared to a few weeks ago. They may become a permanent feature of present life as diseases come. I want to talk about a different mask, though, also protective, also making it difficult to see who you are under that covering. Your wearing of surgical masks to protect against COVID or flu might give you some ability to relate to what I will talk about now, should you have no experience of wearing this other mask. Now, I'm going to warn what follows may be a little triggery for some people who have trouble with being judged. Here are some words that people say when they encounter a disability or issue they don't understand in another. They're lazy. They're stupid. Why can't they just... They're faking it to get out of something. Oh, they're just flaky. They're always complaining. We're always waiting around for them. This is the backdrop for the need for a mask. A mask is simply a presentation to the external world of who you are that is fake, but protects from belittlement, harm, and so on. An often highly polished and fleshed out persona that rocks few boats with the wider public. In a way, it can also be thought of as acting. Some call it a facade, or liken it to wearing clothes or armour. The closet, in gay terms, is a mask. We present as straight to people who might otherwise belittle, physically assault, or even murder us. It happens all the time. People who are neurodiverse, for example, autistic people, talk about masking quite often because they must deal with the expectations and hostility of neurotypical people who don't think in the same way they do. So they pop on a mask in public to mimic what they interpret as the way society expects them to behave. A lot of men have trouble with emotional processing and will pull on the angry mask when their real feeling might be something like overwhelmed, sad, or rejected. Society accepts angry men, but not overwhelmed, sad, or rejected men. I find that profoundly disturbing. It is also disturbing that most of us follow the bouncing ball of outward signs, such as that anger or isolation, but miss what might be driving that behaviour. I know a lot of people experiencing chronic pain, as in unending pain that goes on over time. They can sometimes behave quite badly because coping with that pain all the time is not an easy thing. And so there are times that their coping methods fail. Consider Facebook and other social media. So many in Facebook show nice pickies, successes, holidays, promotions, degrees earned, a new job, and so on. Cue the likes and hearts. And that is valid to a point. But what we see is a facade of a person there. It's not quite who they are. They have unpublished failures and difficulties. That successful mum might have spent all day just trying to get her teeth brushed. The grand holiday your friend had might have been the very first holiday they've had for decades. The cute new puppy might have just peed under the bed and chewed all the legs of their furniture. Even here, in a physical space, it happens. In fact, churches are notorious for this. Cue the great shocks and gossip. Mrs. This was a sex worker. And Mr. That was in prison for 8 years. But they played the piano so beautifully and always bought food for the poor. The scandal. Did you know birds mask? When they are ill, they behave exactly as though they are healthy. Because if they look weak, predators will favour them. It's a major problem for people who deal with birds because one minute they seem fine, the next minute they're off their perch and very ill indeed. It means getting a bird to the vet soon enough to help them is quite challenging because their illness is revealed so very late in its progression.
True and false self. One of the most surprising but powerful explanations for why we may, as adults, be in trouble mentally is that we were not, in our earliest years, denied an opportunity to be fully ourselves. We were not allowed to be willful and difficult. We could not be as demanding, aggressive, intolerant, and unrestrictedly selfish as we needed to be, because our caregivers were preoccupied or fragile, and we had to be preternaturally attuned to their demands, sensing that we had to comply in order to be loved and tolerated. We had to be false before we had a chance to feel properly alive. With the result, many years later, without quite understanding the process, we risk feeling unanchored, inwardly dead, and somehow not entirely present. This psychological theory of the true and false self is the work of one of the 20th century's greatest thinkers, the English psychoanalyst and child psychiatrist Donald Winnicott, in a series of papers written in the 1960s and based on close observations of his adult and infant patients. Winnicott advanced the view that healthy development invariably requires us to experience the immense life-sustaining luxury of a period when we do not have to bother with the feelings and opinions of those who are tasked for looking after us. The true self of the infant, in Winnicott's formulation, is by nature asocial and amoral. It isn't interested in the feelings of others. It isn't socialized. The infant screams when it needs to, even if it is in the middle of the night or on a crowded train. It may be aggressive, biting, and in the eyes of the stickler for manners or a lover of hygiene, shocking and a bit disgusting. The infant wants to express itself where and how it wants. It can be sweet, of course, but on its own terms. If a person is to have any sense of feeling real as an adult, then it has to enjoy the immense emotional privilege of being able to be true in this way as a babe and small child. When things go well, gradually and willingly, the child develops a false self, a capacity to behave according to the demands of the external reality. This is what enables a child to submit to the rigors of school, and it develops into an adult of working life as well. When we have been given the chance to be our true selves, we do not, at every occasion, need to rebel and insist on our needs. We can follow the rules because we have, for a time, been able to ignore them entirely. Unfortunately, many of us have not enjoyed such an ideal start. Perhaps mother was depressed or father was often angry. Perhaps there was an older or younger sibling who was in crisis and required all the attention. The result is that we will have to learn to comply far too early. We will have become obedient at the expense of our ability to feel authentically ourselves. In relationships, we may now be polite and geared to the needs of our partners, but not for that matters able to properly love. At work, we may be dutiful, but uncreative and unoriginal. In such circumstances, and this is the genius, psychotherapy offers us a second chance. In the hands of a good therapist, we're allowed to regress before the time when we started to be false, back to the moment when we so desperately needed to be true. The demand to be false, which never goes away, becomes more bearable because we are regularly being allowed in the privacy of the therapist's room once a week or so to be true. Winnicott was famously calm and generous towards his patients when they were attempting to re-find their true selves. One of them smashed a favorite vase of his. Another stole his money. A third shouted insults at him session after session. But Winnicott was unruffled, knowing that this was part of a journey back towards health, away from the deadly falseness afflicting those patients in the rest of their lives. We can be grateful to Winnicott for reminding us that contentment and a feeling of reality have to pass through the stages of almost limitless delinquent selfishness. If we have never been allowed, then our sickness and depression is a constant reminder to us that we need to take a step back, and therapy is there to allow us to do it.
The problem with masking is that it's emotionally exhausting. Neurodivergent people often need a lot of recovery after dealing with the public, in the same way that those who have worked retail need a lot of recovery because they too wear a mask much of the day, smiling, saying how wonderful you are. Another problem with masking is to a degree wearing one makes you that which you present yourself as. You become like a living cartoon, a caricature. In time, you can forget who you really are. And the consequence is often severe. Patricia Rutledge, who many of you know from her role as Hyacinth Burquet in Keeping Up Appearances, and the writer Alan Bennett, did a masterful monologue called A Woman of No Importance. I encourage you to watch it. It's freely available. It captures that cartoon of a personality wonderfully. The last problem, and it's a huge and somewhat nebulous one, is that it's robbing us all of the splendid rawness of real people who are free to release the best of who they are, powered by doing the things that resonate with them. The locked up potential we are all missing out on is immense. These all relate to our first three principles, namely, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This applies whether you're wearing a mask or not. By reminding people of their worth and reinforcing dignity, the mask is less useful and might dare to be removed. The second principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. This forms the space where masking is unnecessary. And the third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. A very common kind of spiritual growth is the unmasking of the true persona, discovering and living who you are inside. This fake and real aspect of yourself and of others is a binary, though. And remember what I've already shared about binary systems. Look always beyond the two polars and you will find so much more. To this end of a spiritual growth, I'm going to give a few minutes of discussion on any aspect of ourselves beyond the mask. This is not a crowbar session to yank out your deepest fears. It's up to you how much and what you share. If it's too uncomfortable for you, then just listen with an open heart and mind. I give you a few minutes now. What's so desperately needed are spaces, ideally all spaces, to be more accepting of differences, more amenable to people opening up in honest feelings, thoughts and ways of expressing. Safe places where people don't feel pressured to present to people the plastic face that they demand. What I'm saying here sounds very Unitarian, doesn't it? Some places call this radical acceptance. Beau and I felt very comfortable. Comfortable here enough to be more authentically who we are in this church. And I thank all of you involved in that, even to the minutest degree. It is my hope that this space, right here, can be that kind of welcoming to everyone and be even better than it already is. We are already partway there and have a lot of advantage to make that happen. These belief structures really do serve. This will be hymn 226 in the Green Book. The words will also be on the screen.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.